Welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm your host, Rick Bennett. Please consider donating or purchasing a transcript by going to our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. You'll help support other documentaries and podcasts such as this. In our last episode, we talked about graduation rates at BYU and across the country. In this episode, we're going to talk about expulsion rates. Did you know that blacks are expelled at a much higher rate than whites at BYU? A lot of this has to do with the honor code. Are there things that the church could do, especially with non-LDS athletes, that will help them with the honor code? Let's listen in on our conversation. You know, one of the things, the points you made in your book that I wanted to talk about was, especially with the black athletes, because typically a lot of them are not LDS, and the honor code. So in your book, you mentioned that the honor code is kind of downplayed, and then it almost feels like it's sprung on these guys. And the one thing that some of the black athletes at BYU have said, shouldn't they be more lenient instead of less? But on the other hand, they're the ones with the higher expulsion rate. Right. And do you remember what that rate was?
So if you look at black male student athletes, you know, constituted 60% of all disciplined athletes over a 25-year period from 1991 to 2015, whereas only 20% of white males. And yet, blacks only made up 9% of student athletes at BYU, right? So even more alarming was the rate of black dismissals, right? Expulsions. So black males were removed at a rate of nearly 80%, while white male dismissals were made up only 10%. I mean, I don't see that as surprising at all. I mean, really, it shouldn't be surprising. But there's a reason for that, though. I think there's, and it goes back to what you were saying before. It goes back to the fact that these young men are not Mormon. They don't have the same, they don't know the rules. They don't understand the rules. They don't understand that the honor code is not just a code. It's theology. It's Mormon theology in a code, right? It's what the honor code for Mormon students is kind of like, eh, I do it already. I mean, it's not like, you know what I'm saying? They don't have to think about that. Most Mormon students don't. But black students, they don't have that. They already come primed. By the time they get here, I would imagine most of them have had sexual encounters by the time they get here. By the time they get here, I would imagine most of them have drank. They probably smoked. They probably did a lot of things that they wouldn't do here, that they wouldn't have access to here. And then they lived a life that is significant or synonymous with someone who lives in poverty or someone who lives in a low-income community. That's their worldview. And you bring them there, and you bring them to the most isolated place. You know, well, there's other isolated places. There's Connecticut, there's Maine, but it's different. The whole state isn't wrapped around religion, as swirling as an ideology beneath the chaos. They don't have to worry about that, but here they have to deal with that, and that's the unfairness of it all. To BYU's credit, I did say, you know, they have made some attempts to ameliorate some of the suffering that some of these young people, and they're 18 years old, Rick. Come on now, they're kids. Their brains are not even fully developed yet, until they're 25, 26 years old, depending on their gender. They're still developing, young people. They're gonna make stupid mistakes, especially those who grew up in circumstances, not of their own making. Those individuals probably have a higher percentage of ADD, ADHD, probably oppositional defiant disorder, probably some conduct disorder thrown in there as well, probably some depression, some things that speaks to their experience, the trauma of living the way that they had to live, and why football and basketball is so important to these young people. You know, when you have young people, man, young African Americans who believe the rhetoric about what football and basketball can do for them, you have a problem, right? They've bought into the very same system that's oppressing them, and they don't even have any cognizance of it, which is deeply troubling. Again, it speaks to the deplorable schools that we have in this country.
So let's talk about it. So what, I mean, you mentioned in your book that if it's a white player, especially a white Mormon player, one of the things they can do with the honor code is they can go to their bishop. Now, if we got either a non-LDS, I mean, we can even talk about Jim McMahon. He's a white non-LDS player. And boy, I've heard a lot of stories about him at BYU. It seems like they, you know, especially under Lavelle Edwards, they looked the other way on a lot of stuff with him.
I tried to find Jim McMahon.
I looked high and low. He's in Arizona, I know.
Yeah, I knew. I located him to that, but beyond that, I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't go any further. I would love to talk to him about.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about this.
Well, and I think in your book you mentioned one of the things that he said was you need to get a girl that'll keep her mouth shut.
That's right. Yes, he did say that.
So, but what are some things that BYU could do, especially with a non-Mormon athlete? You know, they're not going to have a bishop. Would it be a good idea for them to get maybe another denominational leader to counsel them to go through this same process that LDS athletes would go through? Is that a good idea?
That's a fantastic idea. Having an outside party do it. Right now they have a gentleman on campus that's doing it. So he's sort of the liaison. His name is Jim Slaughter. Jim's a great guy. I mean, I know Jim personally. He's a great guy, a good guy. He gets it. Right, but so much his hands are tied much of the time in terms of what he really can do to help, and I'm not necessarily sure if Jim is the right person for it simply because he doesn't necessarily relate to these young men. I take nothing away from Jim, but in terms of his ability to relate to these young men and their experiences, probably not. And I think Jim would be honest enough to say yes, you're probably right there. So I think your suggestion is fantastic. I mean, you know, there's France Davis in Salt Lake. There's, France is tied in with a lot of different, Pastor Davis is tied in with a lot of different communities. He could even probably dispatch someone to Provo, if need be, to serve as a sort of an ombudsman for these young men and players if they, you know, sort of run afoul of the Honor Code system. So these are things that should have been thought of before they came here, right, before these young men came here.
And on the other hand, it seems like, well, you don't have a bishop, so there's no appeal process, and
right.
So we're just going to kick you off the
team. Whereas the white athlete, and it makes sense, it makes sense. The white athlete has the repentance process that they can initiate, right, almost immediately. And whereas the African-American player who's non-Mormon, they don't have that same luxury. So for them, you know, it's a much more harsher, reprisal from the institution because they have none of those systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we see the disparities between blacks and whites and actually Polynesians. And Polynesians is a mixed bag with Polynesians, and it's a mixed bag with Mormons who are African Americans who are Mormons, or who are biracial blacks, biracial Mormons. There's differences too in terms of how justice is meted out with them as well by church leaders. So it depends. It totally
mm-hmm.
depends.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, I say it depends until you look at the data. When you look at the data, then you say, wait a minute, there's a pattern there.
I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Dr. Darren Smith. In our next discussion, we'll talk about rape allegations at BYU. Is BYU handling those appropriately?
Well, from that standpoint, then that's an outrage. I mean, if the Honor Code is punishing the young women for something that they had no control over, had nothing to do with, that's horrible.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.